Alright, what I'd like to talk about is the Mishnah on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, which has the din of a Moredeth. You guys get to the Mishnah in the Gemara? Alright, good. So it has the din of a Moredeth and a Moreid. You have a situation where the husband or the wife rebels, literally. And the Gemara discusses what does it mean to rebel. And the whole situation, if there's a merida, so the Mishnah goes through how we either take away the ksuba from the woman, we lower the mouth of the ksuba, or we add to the ksuba if it's the man who's rebelled. So the Gemara has a machlokas. The first line of the Gemara here, meredes bimai, Rav Huna amar mitashpish amida, Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, Rav Chanina, amar mi melachas. So there's a machlokas whether the merida is a merida mitashpish, or it is a merida mi melacha. What's that of the Gemara? Are you pulling up? Okay. No, I don't know, so fine. Whatever, you guys fight it out. So, okay. So that's the machlokes here in the Gemara. And it goes like we just said, it goes vice versa. Melacha, meaning they're not going to work, they're not going to produce the things that need to produce for each other in either direction. And from tashmish, they're going to not have tashmish with each other. So what I'd like to do is go through a few questions the Rishonim raise on this in light of other things that we've learned already, and then analyze this machlokes and see how we come out with myself. So the first question I just want to raise, the Rashba raises a question. If you look in the first source, we'll look back at the Mishnah. Our Mishnah here on Samach Gimel on the Aleph, so it says if you have a situation of Merida Mitashmish, which we said goes both ways. So if the man says, I'm not going to Tashmish with my wife, so the halacha is, we go through a process that Gemara discussed, but per week that he's saying this, so we add onto the Ksuba, it costs him. Yet, we have, asked the Rashba, a Mishnah we learned back on Samach Aleph on the Beis. And back on Samach Aleph on the Beis, we had a Mishnah which talks about a situation where a husband takes a neder, which seems to be a similar situation, where a husband takes a neder not to have tashmish with his wife. And there, we don't find anything about Mosifin. We find a different process. We find that it says, Machlokes Beisham Beisilo, how long can that go on for? Can that go on for 1 week? Can it go on for 2 weeks? So what's the difference? Why should there be a difference between our Mishnah, which is a Moredes, or a Moreid, and earlier the Gemara that talks about taking a neder not to have tashmish? Why should there be a difference? So the Rashba raises that issue. The Rashba in the first source, Hadetran Hamadir Sishta Mitam Shamita Beishamei Omrim Shtei Shabbos Beisol Omrim Shabbos Achas. So why over there do we find a different system? So Ikol Meimar the Tochs Man Zenami Mosif Beholich Chati Tar Peik Bechol Yom the Moreid Humi Tashmish. So the first answer is it's not really a kasha. Each Mishnah is dealing with a different element of it. So the Mishnah over there is dealing with how long are we going to let it go on for? How long? Our Mishnah is dealing with are there any consequences for this behavior? But there's no difference when you say I'm not going to have tashmish with you, and you take a neder I'm not going to have tashmish with you. Either way, you are in violation of the marriage agreement. Basically, is what's going on here. You're not doing what's proper in marriage, and you face consequences. And that's our Mishnah is telling us the consequences. That's answer number one. And answer number two, Inami ikalimemar demadir eno mosif lakla. Now, really, you could say a different shot. But over there, when you take a neder, you don't add at all. Demadir ein lo tzarkal kach. Levish ein kaso nikar el shah rishona. What happens when a person takes a neder? A person takes a neder, it's in a spurt of anger. A person gets angry, they take a neder. So I get angry at my wife, oh, bam, I take a neder. And now I'm stuck. But it's only in that first moment when you took the neder that there's like a pain that's going on. An element of this, as we will see, is the pain you're causing the other. So if the man takes a neder, so, okay, in that moment that the man took a neder, here you go. In the moment that a man took a neder to his wife, he's not going to tashmish his wife, so, okay, that hurts her. But that's, you know, a brief moment of pain. So that's over there, that's the din. We don't have the knas of adding onto the ksuba because, you know, it's not such terrible pain. But here when you're morid, and the Gemara goes on to say that a merida is not just when you say to your wife, you know, I don't want to have tashmish with you. It's when you say, it's not like you say, I don't think this is going in the right direction, I think we should get divorced maybe, or I'm not so happy with the relationship. That's not morid. Merida is when I say, I want to be with you, and I want to cause you tsar by not having tashmish. That's a merida, that's what we're talking about. So that, you're maintaining that anger towards your wife every minute that continues. So that's much worse. So for that level of tzar, that's what we're going to say, that you're punished. That's what the Rashba continues. She'im kaso nikra shari shona. Shemra chazer ba. Maybe he felt bad already. He just, ela shech nechazer limsa pesach l'nidra. What's the delay of a week or two? Okay, you have to find a way to be mounted the nether. As we know, if you take a nether, it's a serious thing. You can't just undo it like that. Aval kan shutoli biyodo. It's all about him. There's nothing halachic stopping them from having tashmish. He just says, I don't have tashmish. So long as he doesn't take it back, he's obviously still angry. There, it's a lot of pain. And that's why you have a knas. Even in the first week, right away, we give him a knas for causing his wife such pain. Interesting, the Gemara, it seems to be based on the Gemara on Ayin Aleph and Beis. The Rashi doesn't quote this. Good, our pace has slowed down a little bit. Found a chance to get ahead and see this Gemara, which enlightened something over here. So the Gemara in Ayin Aleph on the Beis contrasts also a similar thing. The Gemara discusses, so again, that Mishnah we just mentioned, we take a neder not to have tashmish to the wife. And the Gemara there is contrasting an Ayin Aleph on the Beis before the Mishnah. But it's a little complicated. So with the Mishnah, the Mishnah is contrasting, the Gemara is contrasting a case where, let's say the woman would take a neder, not that basically caused a situation that they're not going to be able to have tashmish, and the man is mekayim the neder. You know from the beginning of Parshas Matos that when a woman takes a neder, the husband has a right to be made for the neder, to undo the neder on that day that he hears about it. So the Gemara there is discussing a case where he let the day pass without being made for the neder. So the Gemara there too draws the same distinction, that when the man takes a neder, so it's in a moment of anger, a spur of anger. So there, it's not so bad. You know, we wait to see if we can find a way to get out of the neder. We give you a week or two, as we saw in the Mishnah on Samach Aleph and Beis. However, where the woman takes the neder, and the man has all day to think about it, and he doesn't undo her neder for the whole day, so that's much worse. That's much more painful for the woman. If you look at the Gemara, it's a little bit, it's like five lines before the two dots. Before the first set of two dots. And the Gemara says four lines. The first word line is Mili. So he says, Hecha de Adra Ihu, when he makes the neder, de Sabra Mirtach Rasach Ilave. He just got boiled up, he got very angry. The Hashta Mosif Daite. And he took the neder on a split second, but now he calmed down. So that's why we give it time. Aval Hacha de Nadra Ihi, the Shasik La, where she took the neder and he was quiet. Sabra mid ishtik misna hu desanilek. From the fact that he was quiet all day, he really hates me. So it's very similar to the Rashba saying, when you maintain the merida, that's a sign that you really hate her. That's very painful, and therefore we have a knas. That's the Rashba's answer. So the Rashba has two answers to this question. Why, again, in our Gemara, we find, in our Mishnah, we find that merida, when the man refuses to have tashmish, we find that we have a knas. And when the man takes a neder not to have tashmish on Samach Aleph and Beis, we don't find a knas. Two answers up on the Rashba. The Ran here has a third answer. If you look at source number two, the Ran says, "Merely the Hainu Taima, the Bimoreid Mosifin, Ramadir Mosifin." Is the reason for the distinction? Lebishaham Moreid Kol Sha'a B'Sha'a Omi B'Merdo. When he's Moreid, every moment he's still in his merid. Ukedei Sheyachzar Mimerdo. He adds. And in order to get him to take back his marriage, Mosif and Olav called Shabbos for Shabbos. We add to his ksuba every week that goes by that he still maintains his rebellion. Avol Madir, when he takes a neder against her, Mekevan Shehidira, once he took the neder, the Inu Moti Pesach Leninja, and he can't find a way to get out of his neder. The halakas and the dar are more complicated. You can't always get out of a neder. So since he finds no way to get out, it's not his fault. He made a mistake. But we're not going to, what's the point? Sorry, it is his fault. But what's the point of giving a Mosif to the Ksuba? There's nothing to do. So Mabi Odalasa, I mean, what's going to help you to add to the Ksuba? Lefichach, ain't Mosif to the Ksuba, so you don't add. Al-Yotzev Yitin Ksuba, the social rechid. You just have to give a Ksuba. You can't say married because they can't have tashmish. But there's no reason to add to the Ksuba. This is the answer of the Ran. The Rav Ilan, who wrote the footnotes on the Rashba, and has excellent footnotes here, quoted him once before. So here he points out that there seems to be a machlokas in how to understand our Mishnah. Fundamental machlokas in understanding our Mishnah on Samach Gimel Menachem. as we've been saying, there's in the case of Mori and Moredes, we have a Hosafa to Ksuba, or in the other way, we take away from the Ksuba. But let's talk about it for a second when the man is Mori, so we add to the Ksuba. So what's the purpose? Where does that come from? So you see from the Ran says the purpose of that Hosafa is to convince you to take it back. Right, that's how he draws the distinction, that here there's something to be gained, there's a possible to convince the person to take it back. Over there, by Magia, there's nothing to do. But the Rashba doesn't highlight that point, doesn't talk about that point at all. The Rashba focuses on the pain they are causing the woman, and it seems from the Rashba, the purpose of the Hosafa is a knas, is a punishment that you cause such pain to your wife. What a terrible chutzpah. If you pull out the nafkamina, that would be impressive. It is a giveaway. I do have it on the sheet, source 3, but to explain that. So the nafkamina appears to possibly be as follows. The Gemara... let's look at this. The Gemara discusses, in a little bit of a different context, the Gemara discusses the following. That, as we said, the man is considered Mori also, if a man rebels. So the Gemara questions, if you say that Mori means Mori Mimalacha, so we have a problem. And why is that? If you look at the Gemara says, Bishlam Alamanda Amar, two lines down. Bishlam Alamanda Amar, Mitashmish Lachaya. We can understand how the man could rebel from Tashmish. That would be a problem. El Alamanda Amar, Mimalacha. If you say the man is rebelling from Malacha, Mimishubidla. He's not obligated to work for her. So the Gemara says, no, in. But Omer, Eini Zan, Ve'eini Mefarnes. If he says, I'm not going to provide for you, so then that's a merida. Ask the Gemara, the Hamar Rav, HaOmer Eini Zan Ve'eini Mefarnes, Yotzei Bitin Ksuba. But that can't be the explanation of the Mishnah. Again, we're trying to figure out what would be the explanation of the Mishnah of a man rebelling from Malacha. If it means not providing for her, not supporting your wife, that's Yotzei Bitin Ksuba. Didn't you give a Ksuba right away? Or you give a Ksuba, there's no mention there of Hosafa. So the Gemara answers, V'lav Le'imluche Bei Boi. A vague statement. The Gemara is now trying to fit the fact that we have a Mishnah on the one hand that says when a man does not support his wife financially, you add to the ksuba as either a punishment or a deterrent for him that he should take it back. And on the other hand, we find a statement of the Amoraim, a statement of Rav, who says yotzei b'tin ksuba without mention of adding. So the similar to what we said before, the first answer, at least, is similar to what we saw before. And the last of the first answer, Rashi explains, it doesn't really, by means that you have a delay until you get to the Yotzei Bitin Ksuba. That really, don't read it as Yotzei Bitin Ksuba Miyad. It means you delay through the process of adding onto the Ksuba. That's how Rashi interprets the Gemara here. Similar to the way the Rashi, but totally different question, similar to the Rashi dealt with his question, Rashi deals with the explanation of this Gemara in saying that there will be a delay before you get divorced in a situation where a man doesn't provide. In the meantime, we have a Hosafa. The Rush, though, explains, I don't have this on Namakomis. The Rush explains that the Gemara means that the woman is in control. Means to say that if the woman wants to just get divorced right away, just yoke it in Shuba, we don't add, we don't deal with it. But if the woman wants to see what's going to happen, maybe the husband will change his mind, then we go through the process of adding to the ksuba. So this is a machlokas and how to read the Gemara, machlokas Rashi and the Rush. What is the Gemara's resolution here to the issue of a man not supporting? When do we add? Is it that we add always, and really there's never a situation when you're divorced right away, or is it that it depends on what the wife wants? Right. So if the wife wants it to drag out a little bit and see maybe it changes mind, so we add. If not, we do it right away. Maybe these two answers are related to the Rashba and the Rav. But I think they are fixed. But what's the nafkamina? The Shilde Giborim says the following. What if the man says, I just want to give you tsar, I don't want to support you. And the same thing would be true, the Rishonim explained here about Tashmish. But the man says, but he knows in his mind that he's headed to divorce. He's not planning on doing this long term. He'd get divorced right away, until he gets the paperwork together, but really he'd get divorced right away. So in that case, what would we say? In a regular case, you get divorced, you get divorced. That's not a mori. But here you're mori. You make a declaration, you stick it to her. And you tell her how much you hate her, and you want to, how much pain you want to give her, and not have prospers with her. And also, you've committed yourself to get divorced. So what should be the din? Should you have a knas in that case? Yes, Matthew.
According to
the Rashba,
you should.
Right. So according to the Rashba, or you would say you should. Yet the Shulte Giborim says that you don't. And this is quoted in the Ramah as Yesh Omrim, in source number 3, Yesh Omrim, Dim Rotzel the Garish Miyad, Litein Laksuba, Amos Ivin Laksuba. That's what he wants to do. He wants to divorce her, we don't add on to the Ksuba. Even though, like you just said, Matthew, he caused tremendous pain. That seems to be, we can understand that with the understanding of the Ram, that if the whole point of this Mishnah is to create a deterrent for him, that he should change his mind, so then if his mind's made up, so, you know, if his mind's made up to go, this is headed to divorce, so then we're not going to bother with the whole stuff. There's no reason to get involved with the emotions. It's complicated. It's about adding on to the Ksuba. Forget that this marriage is over. And that would explain the Ramah.
Which says that
it doesn't lock it in place. I mean, if he doesn't divorce her, he doesn't divorce her. But we're going to do less to salvage his marriage if we know this is headed to divorce. So if the point of the Mishnah is a tool to salvage the marriage, so then we can understand that. But if the Mishnah is just a punishment for doing nasty things, then it doesn't make as much sense. All right, that's all the first Ta'ara. On our Mishnah, questions of the Rishonim from earlier, which brings out a little bit of an understanding of what we're trying to accomplish here with this Mishnah. The next issue that Rishonim raised is also based on Gemara. We learned and we discussed a little bit more, I think, in one of the Chaburas, and that is the Gemara back on Nun Ches on the base. As we just said, there's machlokas in our Gemara. What does it mean to rebel from your wife? Does it mean, or vice versa? The woman's rebelling, does it mean she's moredes mitashra, she's moredes mimulacha? The Rishonim are bothered that the Gemara, Nun Ches Amud Beis, top line of the Gemara, right after the Mishnah, Amar Avuna Amar Rav, Yechola Isha Lomar Labaila, Eini Nizones, Veini Osa. Rav says, a woman is allowed to say to her husband, I'm not doing any work for you, I'm not going to make any money, bring in any money, that's fine. You won't support me, I won't support you, and that's fine. So that's what Rav says, she's allowed to say that. So all that we've shown him, and Reish Lakish happens to argue, the Gemara quotes later, Reish Lakish later down in the Gemara says, Mitoch she yachal l'chufa l'maisi yadeh. So you can force her to do maisi yadeh, you can force her to work. But this is the opinion, the first opinion is the opinion of Rav. So how does at least Rav's sheet is a little more difficult, because if you want to say that Moredes means Malacha, she refuses to do Malacha. So Rav refuses to do Malacha. So what's our Mishnah telling, making a whole big deal? We're going to take away her Ksuba, we're going to subtract a week and narrow it down to nothing, but she's allowed to say, I'm not going to work. That's the Gemara Nun Chesam Beis, at least according to Rav. So what's our Gemara, how can our Gemara mean Moredes means Moredes Malacha? Yes. You want to say our Gemara is a case where either you're not taking a side yet, maybe we will moving forward, either where she doesn't really talk about it, she doesn't say anything, she just doesn't work.
Right, exactly. She's not saying anything.
Or she even says explicitly, I want you to feed me and I don't care that you're feeding me,
right.
I'm not going to work.
Right.
Good. So let's get back to that. It's a good question. And the Rishon, the Achronim asked this question, which is strange. You think this is like an obvious point. The Rishon Lach and the Pnei Yashur raise this in different levels. But let's learn the Rishon. Let's go in order first. We'll learn the Rishon and then come back to your question. But it's a question that's dealt with. So, this is the issue that's raised. Now, before we analyze our Gemara, a point of background that I think we may have talked about last time is the following. What does that Gemara mean when it says Eini Zonas Veini Osa? So what does it mean Eini Osa? What are you not doing? What is a right up, what does a woman have the right to forego doing? So if you remember back there, we were, it was actually the next Mishnah, but the next Mishnah on the Testament base had a whole list of things that a woman does for her husband. So a woman makes some money, she's Osa Betzemer, is the, one of the things that listed here in the Mishnah at some point along the way, the last thing, she's Osa Betzemer, she makes money, but before that there's a whole list of other basically household chores that she does. So when she says, Eini Zonas Veini Osa, which we say she's allowed to do, what is she allowed to stop doing? So that's a Machlokes Rishonim. The Ritva, here in source number 4, says that that is only referring to the Asiyas Tzemer, which for our purposes means bringing in Parnasa. She's only allowed to say, I'm not going to bring in Parnasa, but as far as the other household chores, the cooking and cleaning, all those other things, she can't trade that in. Could be she could bring in a maid, but she can't trade that in. That's the thing in the Ritva. And Tosfos by us on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph argues explicitly without getting into the whole context, we'll get in a few minutes into the whole context of Tosfos, but if you look at the third wide line in Tosfos, Tosfos says, Avol ein yira ela ki amra ein in izonos ve'ein yosa petura mikol zayin malachos. She's petura from all of the zayin malachos, all the things mentioned in the Mishnah. She can get out of Isaini Aini Zonas Vaniosa. So that's a little point of background. What about that's the background of that sugya. How do we paskin on that question? So that's a machlokas within understanding the Ramah. If you look at source number 5, the Ramah says the following. The Ramah is talking about a woman who refuses to do malacha. And the Ramah says, if you look at three lines down, middle, mamish the middle of that Ramah, kol zeh v'omeres eini osa v'nizonas. So just like you said, Matthew, but your point still is not clear, but the Ramah seems to say that when do we force a woman to work? That's when she says, I'm not going to work, but I want you to feed me. Aval v'omeres eini nizonas v'niosa. If she says, I'm not going to work, but I'm not going to take any food either, harshus b'yada, she's allowed to do that. Motion is bar. That's as we saw. That's the Gemara Nun Chesam. Abayz is passing like Rafuna. The Yesh Omrim, the Afilu Omeres Eini Nizonas Veini Osa Sricha Laasos Tzarchei Habayis V'Lazakofen Osa Afal Pish Eini Nizonas. So there is another opinion that we do force her to do Tzarchei Habayis. So is he taking a stand on this Machlokes? So there is a series of things that a woman does that we've talked about in the past, of mezigas hakos, of feeding her husband, hatzos hamizah, making the bed, watching her husband. So could this be what the Ramah means? That even though the Ramah holds like Tosos, she really gets out of everything, she still has to do tzarchei habayis. And that would be, you know, those intimate activities. Could this be what the Ramah means? Maybe one of the married men would have more of an intuition into this point. So the Ramah says about this, what she has to do, kofenosa. So as we've spoken about here in the past, these activities are activities of chiba. Kofenosa is kind of like, it's not shy. You can't force an activity of chiba. It doesn't work. It doesn't accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. So that's what the Beis Shmuel points out. This, the Ramah, it can't be that's what the Ramah is talking about. So Elamai, what is Ramah doing? So the Ramah, as the Chelgas Machlokes saying, seems to be quoting the Ritva and the Ran and others who hold that it only applies to making Parnasa. That making Parnasa, that's what she's allowed to stay out of. But Shar Tzarchei Habayis to, thank you very much, but Shar Tzarchei Habayis to clean and to cook and all those things, so that she has to do, she can't get out of that, and we'll force her to do that. That's the opinion of the Chavos Machotik. And the Beis Shmuel says, he thinks really the Ramah is presenting two deyos here. Ramah is Masupik. First the Ramah is presenting Tosos, then the Ramah is presenting the Ran, or the Ritva. So the Beis Shmuel says, since that's the case, we really can't force anything. She could always say, how can you force me? I'm holding like Tosos. I don't have to do these things. So that's a Machlokes within the Ramah, how we pass in about Shar Malachos. But, and it's definitely not talking about the Mezigas HaKos. So back to our story. With this background, now we have to, this background of Machlokes Tosfos and Ritzvah, so we have to come to analyze our Gemara and understand the Machlokes, Rav Huna and Rav Yosef, Rav Kamina. Those are the Bali Machlokes here, and the Bar Plukta here in this question of what is Moredes. So that's the Rishonim deal with. So if you look at the Ritzvah, back in, let's go back to source 4 for a minute. So the Ritva says, if you look four lines from the bottom to the right, the middle line on that section, the Ritva brings a raya from our Gemara to Hishita. Right? What's the raya? Why is there a raya from our Gemara to the Ritva Shita? Again, the Ritva Shita, that a woman can exempt herself from making parnasa, but can't exempt herself from doing other things. Says the Ritva the following: the Tezelcha, the Ha'amrinon the Kaman bePirkin de Rav Huna Amar Moredes mitashmish Avam Melacha lo. So Rav Huna is the same Rav Huna who's the one who says, like Rav Anun Chesam Beis, it says a woman can get herself out of doing Melacha. So Rav Huna says Moredes mitashmish. Anyone want to think about where we're going next? Right. So Rav Huna says Moredes mitashmish, not Moredes in Melacha. So says the Ritva, maybe a little bit counterintuitive, says the im isa di chola lomar ini nizonas ve'ini osa melachos elu. If it would be true that when she says ini nizonas ve'ini osa, that a woman could exempt herself from doing all melachos, even the household chores, pshita de in moredes, the Gemara wouldn't even have to tell us Rav Huna's opinion that moredes has to be moredes mitashmish, right? Rav Huna's opinion is moredes mitashmish, which means moredes mitashmish and not moredes in melacha. So you might have thought that fits very nicely, right? Because what's pshat is, it can't be Rav Huna can't be the one who holds Meredes in Melacha is a merida, is rebelling because she's allowed to exempt herself from work. She doesn't have to work. Says Rav Huna, if that were the case, it would be too obvious. So Rav Huna has to say that it's not true. Why is it not true? Because potentially Rav Huna would agree that in other household chores, it could be considered a merida. That's her Ritva gets Rishita. So a woman can exempt herself from making parnasa, but cannot exempt herself from other household chores, because otherwise our Gemara would be too obvious. That's the Ritva says first. And then he says also the Gemara should have linked the opinion, the Gemara should have mentioned it, and the Gemara doesn't even talk about it. So that's the Ritva says. It brings Uriah for his Shita. The question is, What is pshat in the machlokes? How do we understand? So fine, the Ritva is going to tell us, don't say it's dependent on that Gemara over there. But what is pshat in our machlokes? So the Rashba here in source number 6. So the Rashba. Actually, let's do it this way. So very nice. I just told you what I said. I just told you that Meredes means that the Shar Melachos, that a woman does have a right to, other Melachos, there's no way for a woman to exempt herself. So if that's the case, so why wouldn't you be a Meredes? Shouldn't you be automatically a Meredes? Right? You're not doing what you have to do. You said that, you know, part of the marriage arrangement is you have to cook, you have to clean, you have to do those things, and a woman gets up and says, I'm not going to do it, I don't care about you, I'm not going to cook and clean. So we should give her the fine. We should take away her ksuba. Why don't we do that? Any suggestions? So the Rishonim say there are alternative ways to get her to work. You know, we can force the situation. Like Matthew, you know, we were saying before, Mezigas HaKos, those things we're not going to force. Okay, those are things of Kiva. But, you know, the practical things, the cleaning, the cooking, you know, get a whip out and hit her. That's basically what the Rishonim say. I'm not saying do this b'zmanazeh. But that's the Rishonim. Look, if you look at the Rashba, the end of source number 6 says, Rav Huna, the last line, Rav Huna holds that it's not considered Moredes. Right, it says not Moredes. So if you're not gonna take away from her ksuba, so how are you gonna get her to do it? So kofa b'shot, you hit her, you whip her. Inami, based in Mishamten Osa tonic, or maybe based in will, you know, put her into Tachirim until she makes sure to you know, to nurse the baby is what one example he mentions here, but to do all the other things you're supposed to do. Not a big deal. And the Ritva adds, you know, maybe we'll say that she has some personal belonging, property, and we'll take money, we'll have the husband, allow the husband to take money from her, the gova from her, and use it to hire a maid. I mean, it's her responsibility, so she doesn't want to do it, so at least her money's got to go towards hiring a maid. That's the Rishonim said. So, we're starting to get an understanding of how Rav Huna's shita could work. Now the question is, why is there a machlokes? Why don't Rav Huna, what point do they disagree about? So the Rashba, going along the lines of the Ritva, takes it a step further and says the following. It says that it's obvious that we paskin that a woman is allowed to not have to do Maaseh Yadayim. A woman is allowed to say, I'm not going to work. Yet we said she has to do other melacha. So, but he just points out, he frames the issue. He says it's clear that the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yosi Rav Chanina is only about other melachos. Okay? So that's the first point. That's what the Rashba says at the very beginning of source number 6. So that's what the machlokes is. Okay, still, what are they arguing about? So says the Ritva in source number 7, I'm reading inside, it's getting a little late. The Ritva says in source number 7 that the machlokes, the way he seems to say it, is just merely a question of when do we want to pull out the knas card. Do we want to give a knas for mammon or not? Meaning, if you, and the Gemara actually concludes that for Tashma Shamita, everyone agrees that's a merida. Everyone agrees we throw the books, we give out a knas. If you say, I don't like you and I'm not going to let you have Tashma Shamita, that's like a gross violation of the marriage, and we give you the knas. However, says the Ritva in source 7 there, the question here is, if you're not meeting your financial obligations of the marriage, you're not providing for each other, so do we give a knas or not? But really, everyone agrees, you know, to the details, everyone agrees, the question is, do we have this knas and mosifin? But beyond that, everyone really agrees. So that's the opinion of the Ritva. In terms of the Nekudas HaMachlokes, number one. Tosfos on the very bottom of Samach Aleph on the Beis, I kind of see this as 1A, 1B. But Tosfos says, you know, again, the question is, do we make a knas? How do we, the machlokes is only about Shah Malokas, and how do we want to deal with the fact that you're not meeting your financial obligation? So according to the Ritva, everyone agrees we'll whip her, and Rabbi Yosef Akhlina agrees, as, you know, we'll have a knas. Tosfos seems to present differently. If you look at Tosfos on the very bottom of that big one, Rav Huna, so Tosfos says the Im Tomer, two lines from the bottom, Moredes Mimalacha Amai Pochsim Lamik Subasa. What do we need this whole thing, this whole kadas for? Limko Pizra, the Leisev, and this is it's a Makel, meaning take a stick and hit her and get her to do what she's got to do. Yachalachufa the Maisi Adel, the Reish Lakish. Okay, leaving aside that point about it, but you could force her. The Yishlomer the Kaven the Ena Rotsa Lasos Aliyde Kfiya. If she only will work for the husband, she'll only provide, do what she's supposed to do, through kfiya, so then, chashiva moredis. That in and of itself is a moredis. We post in and we lower it. Why? De'ino dem dar im nachash bekfifa achas. He's going to be living with a woman who needs to be whipped to work, to do the things she has to do. That's not a marriage. So that's not a... Rav Yosef Chanina held it's not an option to force. Like we said, according to Rav Huna, just take a whip and force her. Rav Yosef Chanina held that's not an option, and instead we're going to go with the financial pressure, because to start whipping her, that's not a marriage. That's not a healthy marriage at all. The financial pressure is a little bit of a nicer way to handle it. So those are the first two approaches to the machlokes, is that they argue specifically in Shah Malachos, and it's just a question of how are we going to deal with the rebellion. So according to the Ritva, everyone agrees we force, and do we add a knas also? Maybe we don't give a knas by monetary things. According to Tosfos, it's just a question, do we want to go with the forcing, or do we want to go with the moment? Tosfos is in a different context, but I think the issue Tosfos raised there makes a lot of sense in our context as well. And if you look in source 8, The Rambam also has this idea of Kovan Osa. However, the Rivid here in Source 8 in the Hasagos towards the bottom, you look at the Hasagos, the Rivid there, quotes the Rambam, says Kovan Osa Osa Filu B'Shutim, you can whip your wife. Amar Avram, may Olam Lo Shamati Yosser Shotim L'Nashim. What's going on here? The Rivid is a very contemporary kind of person. He says, we don't whip women. That's not the way we do things. So he doesn't understand Bechlal, what's going on? What are we whipping women for? And the Rivid, this is also the Rivid's opinion in the Hasagos on the Rift. And he just says, don't, if you're going to talk to me about whipping, I don't want to hear any of that. That is not what we do. That is not what we do with women. And the Ritva, also, when he's quoting this Rivid, the earlier part, that I didn't put on the Marmakomas, but that same Ritva on Source 7, earlier on there, the Ritva says that not only is it not the derech to whip women, it's not the derech to put women in the chayrim, we don't treat women that way. That's not how we deal with, maybe with financial pressures, but we're not going to treat them with, we're not going to, you know, take away our tzuba, fine, but to do these things, that's not what we do. So, the Rivet is not going to be comfortable with this approach. Okay, because the approach is assuming that even for a Huna, it's true that she's not Moredes, we still would whip her to make sure she works. So that the Ritva doesn't want to go there. So the Ravid doesn't want to go there. So what does the Ravid say? The Ravid says, really the machlokas is the machlokas about whether she's allowed to forego working. She can forfeit working. And this is in Source 9, he's really quoting, the Ri is really the footnote to point out as the Ravid. He says the following. He says that we thought the Machlokes, in the first approach, so I called it 1A and 1B, the first approach is they argue what's the halacha if you rebel on other malachas, on household chores. Says the Ravid, no, really everyone agrees she's a Moredes. Right? Because even Rav Huna agrees she's a Moredes, so according to the Ravid, there's no other option other than to force her with financial pressure of lowering her tuba, there's no whipping. So everyone agrees about that she's a Moredes. Where is the machlokas in our Gemara? What is our Gemara discussing when it discusses Merida Mimalacha? Our Gemara, says the Ravid, is talking about Dafka making a parnasa, making a living. That's the machlokas. Is a woman considered a Moredes when she says she's not going to make a living? What's that based on? Says the Ravid. I'm not bothered by the Ritva's Kashas earlier. The Ravid says that is the Machlokas. Rav and Reish Lakish back on Nun Chesem Beis. Or Huna and Reish Lakish back on Nun Chesem Beis. So that's a fundamental question. Does a woman have a right to trade in her, you know, the ability to get supported, get financial support, be fed, for her providing? So according to Rav Huna, Lashitasa, Rav Huna holds, she can forfeit being provided for, because she could say, I'm not going to make a living, and that's why she does it. She's obviously not a Moredes in that type of Malacha. Household chores, she is a Moredes. But according to Rabbi Yosef Ruchanina, that is considered Merida, because he holds like Reish Lakish, who holds that she does not have a right to forfeit, and that therefore she is a Moredes. That is how the Ravid presents the Machlokas. Now the Rush has an interesting third Havamina, a third answer. That he only has a Havamina, but it actually really is a possible. It's possible. We shouldn't really discuss it. Really, talk to Machlokas. That's the following. Says the Rush, maybe the Machlokas from Huna and Rav Yosef of Chanina is the Machlokas Tosos and the Ritva from Minchas of Reves. How so? According to the Ritva, she can only forego doing, you know, making a living, asiyas semer. So if she rebels from household chores, she's Moreda. Who's that opinion of? That's the opinion of Rav Yosef Rechanina. According to Yosef Rechanina, since she only has a right to forfeit the household chores, but she's not allowed a right to not do the household chores, but she doesn't have a right to pass up the household chores, so then that's a Moredes. And according to Rav Huna holds that she can say, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do any malacha. I'm not going to do a Siyasemer. I'm not going to do household chores. And therefore, That's if in a Lehuda we can't call her a Moredes Mitashrish. Sorry, a Moredes Mitashrish, it only would be Moredes Mitashrish. And that's the Macholgis for Huna, Rabbi Yosef Chanina, the same Macholgis of the Ritva and Tosfos. So a third possibility in Macholgis is just a question how to understand that Gemara Menuchas in the base. Now the Rush himself is so convinced of Tosfos' Shita over there, the Rush can't fathom this possibility. Right, the Rush says it's impossible to say. There's no possibility that when we say that a woman says any nizonos any also that she has to do household chores. No, she can say I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do a single center. I'm not going to do household chores. And therefore, the Rush says this is not a possible explanation of the Macholkas. But he didn't have to go that far. Obviously, some Rishonim did say it. So it is very possible that this is a Macholkas. This is a Macholkas. The Macholkas Amoraim is what the Rishonim argue about, although none of the Rishonim say this explicitly. The Rush just has the Havamina, which he rejects. Then the question is, how do we understand the Macholkas? The Tosos by us, and the Rush says the same thing. So Tosos says, Rav Huna, basically very, very similar to the Ravid, just brought in the Ravid. Instead of saying like the Ravid and saying that Lushitasam just on the point of Matthias Demer, so Tosos and the Rush, Rav Huna is Lushitaso, and Rav Huna holds that you're not a Moredes on any Malacha, because like you just said, you can say I'm not going to bring in Asiya Semer, I'm not going to do household chores, and Rav Yosef Chanina holds you are Moredes in Malacha, because he holds, I can do whatever, he says she's not allowed to be Moredes from anything. So even Asiya Semer, she can't be Moredes, she can't say I'm not going to do, we force her anything, and therefore if she says she's not going to do it, then she's a Moredes. So those are, I think, the four ways to explain the Machlokes. We had Mahalach number one from the Rashba that the argument is only about Shah Malachos, which she does not have a right to say any Nizonos Meiniosa. And then we had two ways of saying exactly what the Machlokas is, whether it's why you would have a Knas. Two is the Ravid, who says the Machlokas is only about Asiya Semer, but she is Moredes from the other Malachos. The Rush is Havamina, that the Machlokas is Gufa, the Machlokas is also only, I guess, in the other Malachas, but it comes down to the question of how you understand any Zonas and also the Machlokas, the Tosas, and the Ritzva. And the fourth Mahalach is to say that they argue about everything, and it's all the Tosas from the Testament Beis, and obviously we're not bothered by the questions from earlier on. I think Matthew, maybe what we'll do is next week, since no one answered, maybe we'll have a shiur next week. We'll start next week continuing this topic. Other people come in, we'll bring them up to date. We'll pick up from where we are here with these understandings. And then maybe go on, talk about this, and then go on to Sechar Shabbos, which is at the end of the sukkah. Just a word from the Nesivah Shalom. Continuing on thoughts on Emunah. Always important thing to be mechazik. So he quotes from the I don't know the Rosh Hashanah so much in the Chassidish writing. I don't know if it's Rabbi Senu Hakdoshim Lechovich or one Rebbe he's quoting. He quotes seems to be a Mesorah in the Lechovich Chassidus at the following point. And he says that even when a person doesn't feel Emunah, person, we're going through our lives and we don't necessarily feel this sense that Hashem is really running everything and some of the high things that we spoke about last time. And we're just doing what we're supposed to do, but we don't feel that. He says, a Jew has to believe that he has a Emunah Hashem. Even though you don't feel it, know that deep down inside you have a Emunah Hashem. So he asks, well, why should you believe that? Maybe you're a Kofer. Maybe I'm a Kofer. There are some Koferim out there, so maybe I'm one of the Koferim. So why what's this Masorah here to always believe deep down I really have Emunah Hashem? So he says the following. He says that if you think about it, Emunah Hashem really is Pashut. It's a Pasuk that quotes, S'u marome nechem u mi bara ila. You look out at the world and you can't not see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think he has the mashal. Yeah, the mashal of the Chovas Levavos. Right? If you have a map, a detailed map. So no one's going to say that a detailed map or a beautiful painting came about with a splotch of ink. Okay, this is before modern art, which apparently are postmodern art that can be a splotch of ink. But in old times when they had real painting, and certainly if you have a map, So no one's going to look at that and say that happened on its own. So if you think about the world and the complexity of the world, it can't be all this happens on its own. Just think about this, everything, a human being, break down all the parts of an animal, break down the photosynthesis of a leaf, everything that happens, an incredible depth to the world, and just like an incredibly detailed map, no one would ever say happened on its own. She says it's obvious that this world didn't happen on its own. So to reject Hashem is impossible. But we have Kofim. There are Kofim in the world. She says, what's Pshat? Pshat is that a person who does Averus and kind of gets entrenched in a way of Averus, so they take themselves out of this world. They kind of like, they put up a brick wall between them and Hashem. They're like in a locked room. They don't really see, you know, the tumah that's brought about, all the Averus kind of blocks them off in the world, and they aren't able to see the existence of Hashem. So that's what happens to a Kofer. He kind of, the mechitzos he built through his Averus are so strong he doesn't see anything. He says, but a person who does mitzvos is living in this world. We don't, by doing mitzvos, you know, whatever we do, so we're obviously still, we haven't brought upon ourselves the kofer to that degree. But why don't we see Hashem? It's like a cloudy day. He said, on a cloudy day, so you don't see the sun shining through. But the sun's there, it's just the clouds are blocking your vision. He says, we all have cloudy days. We all have days that we don't have such clear vision. But as anyone who's a from Jew, then we keep mitzvos, even though we don't feel deep down the emunah, said we're right there. We're still in this world. We haven't put ourselves behind a brick wall. We just have some clouds sometimes, and we don't really see Hashem. But not to never despair that we don't have that emunah. We can find it inside ourselves, and that's what he says. And maybe another pshat on the idea of emunascha balelos. People usually say that emunascha balelos is, you know, when things are hard. He says emunascha balelos when it's dark, when the sun is not so clear. To have emunah, even if we don't necessarily feel a direct emunah of Hashem, but have emunah in ourselves, to know that deep down we really do have that emunah of Hashem, and hopefully that we mechazik ourselves in the down times, and that will, you know, keep us afloat, so that those times we are able to get more of a glimpse and have the yishuv hadas to see more of the godliness of Hashem, so our emunah will grow from there.